Tobin HaMagid offers a mashal of a couple that was suffering with infertility for many, 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 many years. And finally, after those many years, this woman conceives, and during birth, there is somewhat of a medical and emergency, and both the mother and the baby are now at risk. And the mother directs the doctor to save the baby's life, but in doing so, the mother therefore dies. And this baby then, every year thereafter, celebrates its birthday on the same day as his mother's yard site. When the father of this baby gets up from Shiva for his wife, he then celebrates his son's bris milah. When he concludes the period of Shloshim, he then celebrates his son's pidgin haben. And finally, on the bar mitzvah day of this boy, father directs his son for the first time to say Kaddish for his mother who gave her life for him. And the boy seems somewhat unimpressed, just mutters through the Kaddish, perhaps the same way we at times daven ourselves, not much thought, not much kavana. And people were somewhat taken aback. And when they criticized this 13-year-old boy, how could you have such little kavana davening for your mother who saved your life and gave hers? And the boy says, what do you want from me? To me, it's just history. And Sefer Ol Moshe cites this mashal of the Dubin Magid because on Tisha B'Av, we are all that 13-year-old boy. The Medrash in Echa Rabbah tells us, Mizmor la'asaf alokim bo goyim benach alasecha. Why are we singing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Mizmor is a shira. And yet that kapitel talks about the goyim entering the Mikdash. Being metameh your heichal, destroying Yerushalayim, and we refer to this as a mizmor, as a song. And the Medrash tells us it's because we are grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he vented his anger, kiveyachol, on the wood, on the bricks, on the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, and not on us, not on Klal Yisrael. Shehechrev Mikdash of Etzilanu, that God destroyed his Mikdash and saved us in the process. And all the tzar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers as a result was all in order to save our lives. And yet we fail to appreciate that Mesiras Nefesh, kiviyachol, if you will, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our behalf. Because we don't appreciate how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave up, how much was lost with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We don't appreciate how much we lost with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This galus is not just the galus of Klai, so it's a galus of the Shechina. the desecration of the Harabayas on a daily basis is a Chilul Hashem of utmost proportions. Sefer Moshe cites that the Beis Yosef was told by a maggid in his dream that if you knew how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers because of Klal Yisrael's Averus, you'd be unable to eat. And if we davened for the Tzar HaShechina, that would be an ultimate reason to bring the Gula immediately. And yet, sadly, because we don't appreciate what was in the Beis HaMikdash, the Nisim Geluyim, the Shechina, we don't have the ability to properly mourn, which is why the Gemara Bava Kama Nun Tes tells us, At Chashivas L'Isabuli Al Yerushalayim, that a person has to have a certain appreciation for Kedusha, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to properly mourn the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And this Avelus, therefore, is one that is a bit of a challenge for us to try and appreciate what we've lost as a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, try to appreciate what once was, and the Dveikus that we've lost with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the distancing between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu that has occurred because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Not just our suffering that has resulted, but the suffering of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol as well. That is the challenge of the Avelus Yeshan, of recreating this Avelus that we have lost sensitivity toward. That loneliness, that distancing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is expressed in the Eicha Yashva Badad phrase of the Navi. With the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we are left alone, abandoned as it were. As a mashal, consider this story related by Ari Shavit in his book, My Promised Land, of Professor Zev Sternhell. This man, Zev Sternhell, was born as the youngest child of a wealthy Jewish family in Galicia, pampered and showered with love, raised with the luxuries of a wealthy family, had an older sister, 13 years older than him, who was a second mother to him. And when the war broke out, within the first few weeks, his father and grandfather were both murdered. He was left with his mother and his sister. Initially, they lived in the territory seized by Russia. But when Germany invaded Russia, their town became a battlefield. He remembered watching in hiding with his mother and sister at tender age of 6 years old as the Germans lined up men, women, and children, shot them point-blank range and killed them. And when an order was issued that all those who wanted to work and needed a work permit should report, so this 6 or 7 year old boy's mother and sister went to get their work permits and never came back. At the age of 7, this little boy had no one to speak to, no one to take care of him, no one to turn to. He was absolutely alone, dreadfully alone. So when we read of Eicha Yashva Badad, how Klal Yisrael is now alone, that is the sense, perhaps, we should be trying to appreciate. The solitude that we experience as a result of Churban. We had always been so close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now that Dveikus has been somewhat undermined to a large extent because of the Churban, and as a result, we are all alone in a dangerous, frightening world. The first kina, which begins with the word shavas, which implies a sudden cessation of that which we knew and the change that resulted through Churban. Perhaps read in the news this past week, archaeologists discovered in Ir David, in their digs, archaeological digs of the area that once was the city of Yerushalayim during the first Beis HaMikdash. And they found remnants of not just pottery, but even animal bones, skeletons that apparently were crushed in the sudden collapse of the house walls. I recall on a tour of Ir David just a couple of years ago, the tour guide pointing out to us the house that was excavated in which they found treasure hoards full of gold coins, huge sums of gold coins, which they again attribute to the fact that people suddenly just picked up and ran, just abandoned everything behind them because of the sudden destruction that occurred. And the Gemara describes that in Tainus Daf Chav Tes by telling us that the Levim were in the middle of singing Shira. And in the middle of a pasuk, Vayashav aleihem es onam avra'asam yatzmisem, before they got to the words yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu, at that very moment, the Babylonians suddenly just put an end to their Shira. The unexpected nature of this churban described by the Megillas Eicha, lo ha'eminu malchei eretz v'chol yoshvei sevel ki yavo tzar v'oyev v'sharei Yerushalayim. No one thought this would happen. People thought that the walls of Yerushalayim were impregnable. Even Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Yalkut Shimoni tells us when he saw the smoke ascending from the Beis HaMikdash, his thought was, says the Yalkut, that Klai Yisrael must have done tshuva, they're being makriv karbanos again. He too failed to appreciate that this was Churban Beis HaMikdash. Kina describes the light of Klai Yisrael in Galus, Schiyu Mos Hasimuni Be'edri Chaverai, how we are dirtied, we are sullied by our enemies, made into filth and rejected. Dehumanized. Derided and degraded. Kina speaks of Sakos HaKadosh Baruch Hu enveloping himself, Hester Panim, that is sadly what we suffer from during Galus, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, hides himself. Kina speaks of our awaiting with anticipation the Nevuah of the Novi Zechariah ben Berechia, speaking once again of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, which Baruch Hashem we are zochet to start to see in our lifetime now. And the Kinyan speaks as well, page 154 in the Art Scroll, of how even when I reached out to those that I thought were my friends, they deceived me, they abandoned me, they betrayed me. That has always been sadly true of Klal Yisrael near Golos. Reading recently some parts of a book by historian David Wyman, The Abandonment of the Jews, describing how the American government under President Roosevelt, who to so many American Jews was one of the greatest, most righteous of the Umos HaOlam. And David Wyman describes how when the British government, under pressure to save European Jewry in 1943, coordinated with the Americans what was known as the Bermuda Conference, to meet in Bermuda to discuss the plight of the Jews in Nazi Europe. And Roosevelt, who seemed to be not so interested in the plight of the Jews in Europe at the time, didn't take much of an interest in what was happening at this conference. He sent Senator Scott Lucas of Illinois and Saul Bloom of New York to represent America's interests at this conference. And Senator Scott Lucas stated, as David Wyman quotes as follows, that in reaction to, in response to the request to pressure Germany to release Jewish refugees from Nazi Europe, Lucas responded, if Germany were, quote, pressed too much, that is exactly what might happen, end quote. Meaning, if we press them to release the Jews, they might do exactly that. And we can't handle that. And he then explained that if Hitler suddenly releases 100,000 Jews from Europe, what are we going to do? It'll be our responsibility to take them out of Europe. How are we going to handle that? It will impair our war efforts, and therefore we can't press Hitler to release the Jews because he might actually say yes. The rishus of our friends here in America. Karas lamahavai hemarimuni. Whereas one participant at the Bermuda Conference said to reporters, and again quoted by David Wyman, quote, suppose he did let 2 million or so Jews out of Europe, what would we do with them? End quote. So who are we looking to for help? Or as an advertisement in the New York Times summed it up after that conference, again quoted by David Wyman. Advertisement in the New York Times read as follows. To 5 million Jews in the Nazi death trap, Bermuda was a cruel mockery. It was meaningless. It was a joke. You don't care. You couldn't care less if the millions of Jews died in Europe. And David Wyman writes further that when Roosevelt's envoy, Wendell Willkie, in 1942 pressured the British to ease the restrictions of their white paper, as it was called, to allow more Jews to emigrate to Palestine, let them free themselves from Nazi oppression in Europe, let them escape to Palestine. And the British responded, the High Commissioner responded to Wendell Willkie, considering that you Americans are not allowing Jews to even fill up your given refugee quota, you have no right to pressure us to do the same. So we can appeal to those who we view as our friends and our allies, and ultimately, there's no one to rely upon. Atiftechu v'ndivim b'vein adam she'en lo sishua. Who are we relying on? Which country in Golos is the one that we are going to turn to, God forbid, in time of need, and assume will help? It's very sad to say. But everyone knows that it was a Jew, Abraham Joshua Heschel, marching arm in arm with Martin Luther King for civil rights. A rational thinker would have expected that, therefore, movements like BLM would have some sort of gratitude for the Jewish people. Far, far from it. You think you befriend others, you do for others, there will be appreciation when you are in a need. Rasla Mahavai Hema Rimuni. As a result, we have no one to turn to. Just as we had no one to turn to in Europe, we should not either put our trust in other countries in our Golus either. We turn only and can turn only to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and with that we daven for the end to our Golus and our return to Eretz Yisrael. Shavas Surimani Shimoni Avrai, Srimos Hasimoni Bedre Chavirai. Sakosa Mishkan, Miss Christ of Irai, Sakosa of Lago Givarai, Safku Hafama Divarai, Casilla Colabirai, Nefla Denibitul de Huya, Aidini Hixlahab and Denberechia, Apule Gilgo Havuya, Inimel, Lalas Bivanis no Huya, O Seveni Hamikola Bahia, Benam Alay Lani Vokia, Pane first nips to Hasidah, Palagis of the Hakar Yusadah, Pakar Kachil Tokhav Sadah, Pasakaja Hasidah. Tom Hakta, the case of Fanaka, Tashalam Gamoka, as far as Panaka. Joseph with someone else held Spanaka, Titan, a hard even as it's safe in Inaka. Take a shakam Kaskamas between the Hatava, Kalasama Panaka. Tavi Altasha, Kilan, remember if I was Behema and Yavanu. As the Halak, the Hava had won, was that the Walk of the Soul of Avalanu. Some have met no arm for the runners of Avalanu. Next kino, we ask the question Eicha that Yirmei Navi asked last night as we read with regard to the Churban Bayis Rishon. We ask the question Eicha with regard to the Churban Bayis Sheni. And once again, the inability to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing and why. Something which is a challenge for so many in so many different areas of life at various points in life. So often there are challenges, difficulties, Yisurim, Nisyonos, that we can't understand. And all we can do is express wonderment, bewilderment, but there are no answers. And as this kina expresses the question Eicha time and again, the kina actually justifies the question, emphasizes the question, how could you do? And then the kina lists in the first line of each and every stanza a description of the suffering that occurred as a result of the Churban, When, after all, the Kina then expresses in the second line of each stanza, you should have remembered the Bris Ben Abisarim. You should have remembered how we followed you in the Midbar, the camps of Klal Yisrael on the Midbar, on the way to Eretz Yisrael, how you gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, the friendship, the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echa, 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 velo, velo, velo. How could you have done what you did and not remember this, not remember that, not remember this, not remember that? And so often, when we ask Echa, there are no answers that we are given. As in this Kina, the question is simply asked and no answers are offered. We know from Chazal that the Churban was necessary because of our Chatoim. It was in order to avert a destruction of the people themselves. But at the time of Churban, we don't appreciate that. We just focus on the suffering. We don't realize how that was in fact perhaps a means of Yeshua Hashem for us as a people. And so often in life when we ask these questions of Eicha, we don't necessarily understand how and why Kadosh Baruch Hu does what he has to do, and how and why it might ultimately be for our benefit, which it always is. We just don't always necessarily live to see it or understand to see it. Yet we have that bitachon, as we do in reciting Tzidur Kadin after a p'tira, that everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is just. There is always a just reason, just explanation for it, even if we can't appreciate it from our very limited perspective of world events and life events. I remember hearing from Mr. Ernest Bachrach in Riverdale how his father's sisters back in Europe couldn't find shidduchim because their father couldn't afford to pay the requisite dowry. And after World War I, when they simply were not being successful, they had no choice but to set sail for the U.S. And his father told him how it was such a nisayon, such tsar, because I have no money to pay for their shidduch, so therefore they have to leave the country, leave the continent, leave the family, go off on their own to some foreign country somewhere. And yet ultimately, a decade and a half, 2 decades later, it was they who saved the entire family by supplying visas to bring them over to the U.S. when they were fleeing Nazi Germany. You never know why Eicha at the time, something looks so unfair, so unjust. And sometimes it was Zocha to appreciate later on why it was necessary, why it was L'tov Asenu. Sometimes we don't have that answer. We simply have to ask Eicha and rely on our bitachon by reciting Tzidur Kadin, so to speak, that everything Kadosh Baruch Hu does is L'tov Aseinu. Eicha atzlava pecha la'ber b'yad adam amen v'necha avlo zachar tabris ben abisam shabirat l'vchonecha hem b'tini zachar adonam hayolonu איך גאט ביגער סאך דא גלאט ניגער אין מאגט וואלא חאל איז גאט דא ליגאס די לאק טאג שייד דא לאק דא גלא חא חין די באן איז גאט נא מאיי יאלא נו חאק דא באג יונא חא דא פיר הייל מא מא נא חא איז גאט ביר באס דא קלאס איז שאב יאלט דא בוד דא חא חין ווי קנא נא איז גאט נא מאיי יאלא נו חז נא חא דא סמא חא איז האז דא יאלט זבאר מסוף דא חא איז גאט איז חית נא חוק חא ביש חא קאק דא חא מא חא חין חבינו איז גאט נא מאיי יאלא נו خطرخت به ترخخ و چوی بیاد تار فم چلا خود تا خارت یک کاری دیده شی 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 خارت لیا دخا خن یلا اند ز خارت نه یلا نو ای خکی بند به خاص اخلا خلاص بر کی فیلم کامل خود ز خارت ل ل زنا خلا ادم شد ما تا لو خ خ این حاج ز خارت نه یلا نو ای خمیلا تن به ما اس اخلا خاص بر ما من اس اخلا ز خارت نه سیاس نه ایت ساس نه شش نه ساس نه سوا خ خینو هینه ز خارت نه یلا نو ای خ سخت به سر اخلا سگ بیان سیف می ساده اخلا زخارت های زدی ها دایم شاید تا تو دواد آخه بخیر نه این زخارت نمی آلارم Page 182. The Kina describing Yoshio HaMelech and his tragic death at the hands of Paranacho of Mitzrayim. We spoke about this a bit in our Tuesday night share the past few weeks. Pesukim describe the episode of Melachim Beis and Divrei Yomim. And the sequence of the events differs somewhat from Sefer Melachim to Sefer Divrei Yomim. Yoshio was the son of Amon. Yoshio was the grandson of Menasheh, the great-grandson of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and his father and grandfather, Amon and Menasheh, had allowed idol worship amongst the Jewish people during their combined 77 years of rule. Rabbi Yehuda Landy, in his Sefer, Uncovering Sefer Yirmiyahu, writes that, historically speaking, it was during that period of time that Ashur, Assyria, was very much in control, at the height of their power. And perhaps as a result of their influence, Avodah Zarah worship became more common. That's why when you tour your David, they will point out to you that small statuettes or idols were found in the city of Yerushalayim that was the city from the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Jews were of the Avodah Zarah, even on the foot of the Temple Mount, just within walking distance of Har HaBayis. In fact, the article this week that reported upon a recent excavation spoke of finding the full skeleton of a chazir in a house that the archaeologists think was a Jewish home in Eir David during the first Beis HaMikdash. And they theorized, although they can't know for sure, that there may have been some Jews at that time who, aside from being over the Avodah Zarah, were also not cautious with regard to kashrus. Although they can't for sure say with certainty, but that is their theory. But we do know from the Navi that there was widespread Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael during the reign of Menasheh, the reign of Amon, kings of Yehuda. And Amon burned all the Sefer Torah that he could find. Only one was spared, hidden by the Kohen Gadol under a stone slab in the Beis HaMikdash. And Amon was succeeded by Yoshio, his son. Ruled for 31 years. And as Yehuda Landy writes, it was during Yoshio's reign that the Assyrian Empire to the north started to slowly crumble with the death of their king Ashurbanipal, which was during Yoshio's reign. Their influence started to wane, and that gave Yoshio more, perhaps, opportunity to bring Klal Yisrael back to Avodas Hashem, which he did, destroying all the Avodas Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, contaminating all the bamos, all the altars that had been erected outside of the Beis HaMikdash. At age 26, when he repaired the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol found that Sefer Torah that had been hidden. And upon reading from the Sefer Torah, the words, Ora Shalayokim, Sefer Torah Azos, Yeshua began a mass tshuva movement. He ensured that Korban Pesach was brought for the first time in many generations. The Novi speaks of how there was never a king before him who did tshuva, and nor was there a king after him. Yet his one fatal flaw was not heeding the words of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, an error that was astoundingly repeated by his son Sidkiyo, both incidents which led directly to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And that is because Necho Melech Mitzrayim wanted to travel through Eretz Yisrael to the north, to Karkamish, which is in modern-day Turkey, north of Syria. He wanted to, from the Pesukim it seems, confront Melech Ashur. Yudalandi suggests the Pesukim she read to mean that he wanted to assist Melech Ashur in battling Bavel. And either way, Yoshio, defying Yirmiyahu's guidance, refused to allow Par Necho to travel up to Karkamish by way of Eretz Yisrael. Yudalandi writes that archaeologists have found in Karkamish, in Turkey, they found seals that bear Par Necho's name, because he ultimately did succeed in crossing through Eretz Yisrael to get to Karkamish. But in doing so, Yoshio confronted him in Megiddo, well north of Yerushalayim, close to the coast, near the Emek Yisrael. As the Kina describes, Necho urges Yoshiyahu, Maliv Allah Hayom Lesalach, why do we have to fight? I'm not interested in fighting you. And Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu as well told Yoshiyahu, based on the Navi Yeshayahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed that the enemies of Klal Yisrael should fight each other. V'nesichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim, v'nilchumu ish be'echav, the Pasuk says, in Yeshayahu Yotes. So Yirmiyahu urges Yoshio, let him go through Eretz Yisrael to fight against, whether it be Ashur or Bavel, let him go fight them. The enemies of Klal Yisrael should fight one another. And Yoshio refused to listen to Yirmiyahu's advice, based on his mistaken assumption that Klal Yisrael was zocha at that point to the brachos in the Chumash, Laman, Lo Sa'avor, Cherev, Kol Shehu, Be'afrayim, the Kina says. The Yoshiyahu, based on the Pasuk, V'cherev, Lo Sa'avor, Ba'arzachem, thought that they were zocha to not have to allow Mitzrayim to pass through Eretz Yisrael. And sadly, the Gemara in Tainus Chaf Beis tells us, "Mipnei Ma'anehan Ash Yoshia, why was he punished? Mipnei Shahayel Oli Malach Be Yirmiyahu V'lo Nimlach. He didn't take Yirmiyahu's advice. And as a result, Par Necho did travel through Eretz Yisrael. He did battle Yoshio at Megiddo. And then Kino writes how 300 arrows struck Yoshio, killing him. As he's dying, the Kina describes how he breathes his last words, Tzadik Hu Hashem Ki Marisi Fiyu, his Matzdik Es Hadin. And his death, although the Churban was postponed, Chazal tell us, 22 years because of this chus that Klal Yisrael was maspid Yoshio properly, that's referred to here in the Kina as well. Tala be'esim u'shtayim meharos shasos kisoftu la'icha be'esim u'shtayim osios. It was the hespedim that Klal Yisrael gave for Yoshio that gave them the schus to postpone the Churban for 22 years until the time of Tzidkiyo, who was Yoshio's son. But ultimately, Yoshio's downfall meant that there was going to be Churban to follow soon thereafter. And shockingly, Tzidkiyo, Yoshio's son, repeated the same error of his father, failing to heed the advice of the Navi, as mentioned Tuesday night last week. The Navi Yirmiyahu in Lamed Ches, Perek Lamed Ches, tells Tzidkiyo, Komar Hashem Elokei Tzavakos Elokei Yisrael. Yirmiyahu speaking to Tzidkiyo during the Babylonian siege of Yerushalayim, which lasted for a year and a half. And he tells Tzidkiyo, Yotso Teitse El Sari Melech Bavel, just give up, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. V'choysa nafshecha, you will live. V'ha'ir azos lo tisarf be'ish, the city will not be burned by fire. You will live, your family will live. And if you don't listen, if you don't surrender, says Yirmiyahu, the city will be given over to the Babylonians to burn in fire, and you will not succeed in escaping. And shockingly, Tzidkiyahu, not learning the lesson of his father Yoshiyahu, who also defied Yirmiyahu, Tzidkiyahu does the same mistake, same thing, same fatal error. He says, no, I can't do that. And I don't guess I Yehudim. I'm worried about the Jews who already are in Babylonian captivity, Babylonian control, that they will take out their anger on me, or they will mock me if they see me also surrendering. His fears for his own humiliation, it seems, prevented him from heeding the Navi's advice, and shockingly resulting in, yet again, another fatal error, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because two kings, Yoshiyahu and his son Tzidkiyahu, refused to heed the advice of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Hard to imagine what the Nisayon was, but sadly, the results are tragically clear. We mourn Yoshiyahu's death because, number one, Mises Tzadikim is Kishevas Beis Elokeinu. We mourn his death because had he not died, as we said before, there would have been a complete tshuva movement and no Churban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Yoshiyahu's death is very much a critical piece of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Pekon Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu Eicha Eli Konin Me'ela Ben Shmona Shana Eicha Ledrash Me'elahav Me'echam Be'opram Chanu Olav Alay Huskar Lo Sigum Ef Olav Kam B'chol Malchi Yisrael Asher Kamu Ligdor Lekam Kemoy Mimas HaVigdor Tabak bo chet letzani adar shak kamo achar dalas lesdar. Oich lem zera shicha kismata picha ma mishchar. Yigdal afen meshiv ya min achar. Ad lo shalach yadav an achar tzak amar penosta. Kinnam das lo ken vitzam nasa ve orach shen lo yokin. Chashach ta arakin yitzu ur chayikin bevet sama si das vachukin. Toivim lo eman ikru vishol chamalach mali vallach yom esamach. Ve amar tamim vim malach te anish bevitzi yisbein filach. Skip the Kina test Zion on page 228. Again, a Kina which now, as the Kina Ich Atta Bapecha, this Kina refers to Churban Bayis Sheni, the destruction wrought by Titus HaRasha when he entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, stabbing the parochas. Chazal tell us, getting involved in the bays, when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, He entered with a prostitute. He defiled the Sefer Torah. He slashed the parochas with his sword. And a miracle occurred and blood started dripping out of the parochas. And rather than be shocked into repentance after seeing such a supernatural event, he instead arrogantly convinced himself that he had murdered the God of Israel. This is described in the first two paragraphs of the Kina. In the first paragraph of the Kina, Gider Parochas Balashtei Panim, where he stabbed that Parochas, double-sided Parochas, with his sword. Rav Chaim Volozhiner and Nefesh HaChaim tells us that whereas Titus was only able to defile the physical Beis HaMikdash, which had already been abandoned by Shekhinah at the time that he entered, it says every Jew has to take to heart that every Jewish heart is also a Mikdash, a Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that every sinful thought can defile the Kedusha within every Jewish heart, which is everyone's personal Mikdash. The Kina describes on page 230 how the Mikdash was raided and plundered. All of the clay sharis were taken. The second paragraph on page 230. They were taken onto a ship to be, I guess, taken back to Rome. And the Kina describes how when the Kohen awakened early the next morning, Belomasa Tishim Ushlosha Klei Sharis, he didn't find the 93 Klei Sharis that had been plundered. He was so shocked by that loss. We are told the Mishnah in Tamid, Daf Lamed, speaks of 93 Klei Sharis. That is referenced here in the Kina as well. The Kina speaks also on page 232 how four different generals of the Roman army were assigned to destroy the four different walls as they entered the Har HaBayis. HaPesach Har HaBayis Hechel Lavo B'yad Arba Arashe Tafsirov Lachrivo Al Tzad Ma'aravi Lezecher Hisridbo. But only the western side was the wall left standing. And the Medrash tells us that the general Pangar, who was assigned that wall to destroy, claimed that he left it standing as a memorial for the conquest of Rome. There does seem to be, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, although there's no mention ever in Shas Bavli or Shas Yerushalmi of the Kosel Ma'aravi, which clearly this Kina refers to, there does seem to be references to it in at least two different Midrashim. Echa Rabbah, where the Medrash says that for 3.5 years Vespasian surrounded Yerushalayim, and he had these four generals with him, and he assigned the western wall to Pangar to destroy the Gazrum in Shemai de lo Yacharav la'olam. But the Medrash says it was examin Hashemayim that that wall should never be destroyed. Lama sheshchina b'mayrav, because the Shechina rests there on the west. And similarly, the Shir Hashirim Rabbah, the Medrash there tells us on the pasuk, Hine ze omeid achar kosleinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu stands behind the wall. Mashkiach menachalonos, mesis menacharakim. So the Medrash there says in Shir Hashirim Rabbah, what does achar kosleinu refer to? It means achar kosel ma'aravi shal beis hamikdash. Kadosh Baruch Hu stands behind the western wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? shenishba lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'eino charev la'olam. That was the wall that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore would never be destroyed. And it seems from these two midrashim that when there is Shechina, there cannot be destruction. When Shechina abandons some place, then there can be destruction. Churban Bayis resulted because the Shechina had already left. But because the Maravi, where the Shechina remained, it seems in the Medrash, there could not be Churban where there was Shechina. Rav Soloveitchik explained how the Romans devoted so much attention to the Harabayis walls, assigning one general to each of the walls, because they recognized that this is where there is Kedusha, this is where Klal Yisrael will find their strength, this is what they will defend to the end of their lives. And so the Romans devoted much effort and energy to destroying Dafka, that vestige of Kedusha that was the source of Klal Yisrael's strength. And if you read Josephus, just to get a sense of what the Churban was like, although it's hard to know when what he writes is accurate or inaccurate, because he was writing for the Romans. But he describes how the Romans under Vespasian, who brought his son Titus with him, and 60,000 troops, came in the year 67 through Greece to the Galil. They massacred 40,000 Jewish residents at a town in the Galil called Yosafata. It was there that Josephus, who had been a Jewish military commander, surrendered to the Romans. He writes that as the Romans then moved south towards Yerushalayim, another 26,000 Jews were killed, in addition to the first 40,000. He says 37,000 Jewish slaves were taken as he moved south to Yerushalayim. And when he reached Yerushalayim, as we know, Yerushalayim itself suffered from civil war between the various factions of Jews who were in Yerushalayim. The Romans lay siege to Yerushalayim. Josephus describes corpses littering the streets, dying of famine, dying of hunger. And when the attack began, those Jews who surrendered sometimes were barbarically massacred by the Romans, crucified, sent back with hands amputated. Sometimes they're disemboweled by the Romans looking for jewels or coins inside their bodies. And when they finally broke through the walls of Yerushalayim, again, although it's hard to know the numbers, Josephus writes how the ground was covered by dead bodies, which the Romans ran over in pursuit of more victims. The Kina here describes, third paragraph, page 232, Hashivenu Shivu Kivo Benivchayam. A reference seems to the story that the Gemara in Gittin relates on Daf Nun Zayin on the Beis of 400 boys and girls taken captive by the Romans, realized they were going to be used for immoral purposes, and they preferred to jump overboard, drown themselves in the sea, rather than to submit themselves to lives of slavery, sexual servitude, immorality. And that paragraph reads, Hashivenu Shivu Kivbo Benivchayam. They called out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, bring us back, as they jumped into the sea. And as partners, Shitfu Atzmam Yachad Lim Pobayam, they all agreed to jump into the sea together. Shir Vetish Bachos Shoruk Al Yom, singing as they did so. Ki Holecha Haragnu, were being killed for your sake, Bimsulis Yom, in the depths of the sea. Kisahomos Boad Nafsham. They went to the depths of the sea to take their lives. Kozos Ba'asne Velosh Chachanucha Chilulim Amashan. Mentioned in the past that though there is a strikingly similar story told of ''93 Beis Yaakov girls who also voluntarily committed suicide by poison rather than to be taken by German soldiers. Subsequent historians such as Rebbetzin Esther Farbstein of Yerushalayim write that the students of the Beis Yaakov of Krakow who were in the Krakow ghetto at the time and survived never knew of any such mass suicide. Nor do they know of the name of the Beis Yaakov of Krakow student, Chaya Feldman, who allegedly wrote the letter that was smuggled out describing these plans for suicide. But others point out that the number of Beis Yaakov girls, 93 in that story, seems to reference the 93 klesharis mentioned here in the Kina. And maybe the letter was simply a call for action designed to arouse people's emotions here in Chutz Laretz. And the letter was released in 1943. However, this description of the Jewish boys jumping overboard into the seas to commit suicide, very sad parallel that I came across, reported in the Occident, the American Jewish Advocate in Philadelphia in 1863. A report in those Jewish papers in Philadelphia 1863 describing the conscription of Jewish boys in Russia. You know, the Tsar at the time drafted Jewish boys into the Russian army for a period of 25 years when they were very, very young until they were already grown adults. And this report published, which you can read online in the Occident in 1863, reports on the forced conscription of these Russian boys, the torture they subjected them to, how they were whipped with the leather of their tefillin straps until they accepted baptism. They were forced to immerse themselves in holes in the frozen rivers. And many of these boys, the report adds, prefer to drown themselves in those rivers rather than to subject themselves to the torture of being whipped and being forced to be baptized by their Russian commanders. Young boys taken at the age of 8, 9, 10 years old. As the Kina says, willing to commit suicide rather than subject themselves to lives of sin. This Kina describes, one of the kinas describes somewhat in detail, as will the next kina, the Churban Bayis Sheni. Zechar she'asa tzar b'finim, shalav char bava lefnai v'lefnim, chlaseinu b'yeis ketzim elachim l'panim, v'gider paroches balei shtei panim, somem giyal b'morgin ma'adam, v'yamadid kov k'mari adam, dam memin d'alach v'shtishkir v'chitzov midam, k'yotzim min ha'bayis v'char b'mlei adam, al ha'gosu ha'boz gover, v'nota el yada l'mula l'gaber, Try me hold the im bum gover, and he be so he vuye or roots ill of the tavern. The sinners are the Knis of the Hurvahish. Is that so? You know, so I have Knis for the Nick of the Ish. But in Kita Besoch of the Sash, my bed this age, my warm shalakish. Shane of Anakoti, please Sharis, the summon, the only shite bum new Sharis. Ben and Amakish came Sharis, the Matsutation of Russian play Sharis. Russian Kishoki or Ritz, the character, Abbas, not all of the Harris. Some with Pasta could void pirates, the Vis Kurdish Gadosh and Sahana Sashwitz. Hormi Machut Sagum Huzakin. Sarah could use that appreciation, Biba Mazikim, the Kinaman of Pasuk, Shumish Halkan Associates, son of the Wasser Mazikim. Shafa Sait and Viva Admiral, we have the frame of the Abbas, Amon, Nafla ever only made Pitzel, Lachlos of the Armon. I can't touch me like Armine. Next, Kina describes in graphic detail, Kinyat Zion, the horrors of Churban. People become so deranged by the suffering of famine, of hunger, that even women would boil, cook, and eat their own children. Even though people recoil at the thought of cannibalism, much less cannibalizing one's own family members, but somehow hunger makes people so deranged in terms of losing their basic sensitivities, that even cannibalism results at times. You find reports in Sefer Yovin Metzula by Abnasa Nata Hanover describing the horrors of the Cossack massacres in 1648-1649, speaking about the victims of the city of Narol, where 12,000 Jews were massacred by the Cossacks, and the few hundred survivors who had no food cannibalized the corpses of their fellow Jews strewn on the streets. Frightening. Ernest Levy, in his Holocaust memoir, describes such an occurrence in Bergen-Belsen. One prisoner, mad with hunger, eating from the corpse of another. Again, horrible to imagine, but hunger dehumanizes people. It robs them of their normal human emotion, which by the Pasuk in Eicha, Perek Dalet, says, Tovim hayu chalalei cherev mechalalei ra'av. Better to die by the sword than to die by hunger, by famine. Horrors of famine, which were inflicted upon the Jews, Bizman L'Churban Bayis, the siege of Yerushalayim, which was relentless. And yet again, in Auschwitz, another Holocaust survivor, Lawrence Rees, describes how in Block 11 in Auschwitz, which the Germans reserved for torture and execution, a survivor named Roman Trojanowski recalls prisoners being locked up in that Block 11 and just left to starve to death just because the Nazis wanted to torture them horribly. The pain so horrible that one prisoner ate his own shoes in desperation. Difficult to imagine the horrors of Churban, the horrors of hunger. Kina continues to describe women being tied by their hair to galloping horses. Also a scene that was sadly repeated by the Germans, but this time using automobiles instead of horses. Kina describes children consuming the flesh of their fathers. Also an indication of the loss of normal human emotion. I shared with you the story of Eli Wiesel, told in his memoir, Night, describing how he was packed onto a cattle car with 100 other starving Jews being evacuated from the Russian front to Buchenwald. And how, as they stopped in a German town, the ordinary Germans, just for bemusement, would throw pieces of crust of bread onto the train and watch the Jewish prisoners starving fight over it, jump for it. And Eli Wiesel remembers watching grown men viciously attack one another to get that little piece of bread. And an older man managed to grab a piece of bread in his fist, puts it in his mouth, and he's jumped and beaten by a younger man. Beaten literally to death for that piece of bread. All the while, the older man is screaming out, "Mayor, my dear son Mayor, don't you recognize your father? You're killing your own father." To no avail. Mayor beats his father to death to take his bread. And then he too was jumped and beaten by another prisoner. And soon he too lay dead next to his father. Horrors, once again, of hunger, described in part in this kina, and describing korban. The kina describes mothers lamenting over dying children, There's a book entitled In the Sewers of Lvov, written by Robert Marshall. It describes a remarkable story of 10 Jews who survived for more than a year living underground in the sewer system of Lvov. One woman in that group lit candles there every Friday night. They were supplied by the Polish caretaker of the sewer system. Another woman, Gina Weinberg, who gave birth in the sewers and was so terrified that they would be discovered because the baby's crying. Despite the objections of others in the group, this woman suffocated her own child. And she did so one night when the others were sleeping. And upon awakening, the others found her just sitting in a trance next to her already suffocated baby. It's horrible to imagine. Mothers lamenting the death of children. I recall reading a number of years ago an article in the Mishpacha magazine about a bar park shtiebel of survivors. There was one survivor who was very, very antisocial, always snapping at others, very cold to others. And the author of this article writes how, upon hearing about what this man endured in Auschwitz, how he and his wife and two daughters were separated during the selection at Auschwitz. His 15-year-old daughter was holding her younger sister, and she was sent with her mother to the left, and the father was sent by himself to the right. And this 15-year-old girl, sensing some premonition, puts her little sister down and runs to her father on the right side. And the father, not realizing what was happening, yells at his daughter, "Go back to help your mother with your sister." And then had to live the rest of his life with that burden of knowing that he was responsible for his daughter's death. Parents lamenting the deaths of children. And after describing in graphic detail these descriptions and more, the Kina concludes then with a very, very striking, perhaps harsh musar. The entire Kina is all about alalili, alalili, bemoaning our fate, our suffering, our pain, our misery, unspeakable horrors. And the Kina concludes with the Ruach HaKodesh yelling back, that all you publicize is that which happens to you, but that which you've done, which you are guilty of, that you don't publicize. What about the Navi, the Kohen, who was murdered in the Beis HaMikdash, which Klal Yisrael is guilty of? Zechariah ben Yehoyada, another Kina relates the story of that event later on. And that you don't mention. Bit of a harsh musar conclusion to the Kina. Don't look only at what has happened to you, but sometimes look within to see what perhaps we have kevayochel done against the Kadosh Baruch Hu before just blaming our Kadosh Baruch Hu and mourning our own suffering alone. So chalim nashim perim alalei tipuchem alalei tivashal nashim rachmanayos yilodim amadudim tfachem tfachem alalei. He goes in the past, Rosh HaMasek Shana, L'susim Paruchem Ala Laili, Tidbak L'shon Yonig L'chech, V'tzimon Tzachichem Ala Laili, Hemene Zewel Ema Zuba, Yonu Vashlas, Bonen Tzorchem Ala Laili, M'tifahatna Zewel Zutmi B'neich, V'chofim Yonitzoch Nisochem Ala Laili, Zmele Besar Avas Labanim, V'maruz Mishichem, V'tzachichem Yavna, V'manos L'chech, Yimoyis M'nifachem, Ala Laili, M'tzachis Naruch HaYisolim, Chay Beskei Tepuchem Ala Laili, Yakarana, Skip to Kina Yud Tes. Kina, in which we express a form of tzedek hadin, acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's righteousness, acknowledging our own shortcomings and our failings, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, and how we failed to be Makar Tov properly by repaying Him, as it were, with our sins. So whether it be Kadosh Baruch Hu's redemption of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, despite our following in the path of Mitzrayim, whether it be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's redemption of us despite our rebellion at Yam Suf, or our rebellion at various times in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us Mun, our making of the Egel Hazav, and so on and so forth. All of the chasadim, the nisim and flos of Kadosh Baruch Hu performed on our behalf, and how we failed to repay that and acknowledge and appreciate that properly, and instead sinned, we were kafui tov, not properly makir tov, achan taking from the cherem of Yericho, the tzelem, the avodah zarah of Micha, the sins that resulted in the Churban of the Mishkan and of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bate Mikdash. Simply acknowledging, perhaps almost in reaction or response to the Kina of Eicha Atzta Ba'Pecha, we have here acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything that is just and is our shortcomings that are to blame, as we perhaps also indicate with the conclusion of the Kina we just recited, that we need to focus on our own shortcomings and not to simply look to blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which we fear that we suffer from.
Under Bush is upon a bit of Yam Rayam, be Yam Sup, Gabriel Hava Fasham. Other than the dark of his Echavat, I may die by the yellow him. Under Bush is upon a bit of Hain, other than a sin, come as a lunar of him. Other than the dark of a Tamshi Tam Tanuk, Kazafikas with the Vash. Under Bush is upon a beam of craft and the fun of the Solis, which I'm in the midst of Varsh. The Hodder to talk about Bill Hilko, one of the air of Amaran, and Badana Bush is upon a Bilkhil Klaiko, Saint Abdalem, Gabriel Ragnan. Other than the dark.
Kipta Kina Chaf Aleph, the Sorig Malchus. The Kina describes the death of 8 of the 10 Harugei Malchus. As I mentioned before, the Romans invested so much effort in destroying the walls of Har Habayis, recognizing that Kedusha is the source of Klal Yisrael's strength. And so it was with regard to the Sorig Malchus. They looked, just as the Germans did, to target spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Gedolei Torah. Whereas on Yom Kippur we recite Akina or Slicha, which also speaks of the death of the Sarugim Malchus. There it's more in the context of Mises Tzadikim is Mechaperes. Yet here it's in the context of Mises Tzadikim is like Strefas Beis Elokeinu. It's a loss that is on par with a Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And the remarkable description in Chazal, the Gemara Brachos, Daf Samach Aleph Mebeis, Rabbi Akiva, as the king here describes, his body, his flesh was torn with iron combs, but he recited a Shema Yisrael as he was being killed. and Yatsasan Ishmasa Be'echa, the Kina writes, Chazal tells the Gemara Brachas Tarabi Kiva, in responding to his Talmidim, were expressing their shock, their amazement at his ability to recite the Kriya Shema and die joyously like Kiddush Hashem. He was describing how he has finally been zocha to the opportunity to fulfill the psukim, the haftes Hashem alakecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, to literally die al Kiddush Hashem. In the book Nor the Moon by Night, the tale of the Baba Varebi, Shlomo Halberstam Zatzal, and his son Rav Naftali Zatzal, and their escape and experiences the hands of the Germans, it is told how they were on one occasion imprisoned by the Gestapo, who were seeking to torture Shlomo Halberstam in front of his son, in an effort to extract the name of the Polish smuggler who was going to take them from Poland to Slovakia. And as he was preparing for that, what seemed to be at that point in time, inevitable death, he told his son, Rav Naftali, just think of the Simcha of Simchas Torah, how one dances on Simchas Torah, and prepare to face death al Kiddush Hashem with the same Simcha, and just say Shema Yisrael with Simcha. It's how Gadol Yisrael prepared to be tortured to death al Kiddush Hashem. The same is true, and it's told about Rechonah Wasserman, who in fact was executed al Kiddush Hashem near the Kovno Ghetto in 1942. Rafaim Usher, who survived the Kovno Ghetto, writes that Rechonah, before he was seized, taught his son Rav Tali the bracha that the Shulah writes one should say upon dying al Kiddush Hashem. And when Rechonah was seized from the home that he was hiding in by the Lithuanians who came to arrest him, simply urged the other Jews there to do tshuva, he said, apparently we are viewed in Shemayim like tzaddikim who are worthy of dying to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael. And therefore you have to ensure that our sacrifice will be effective. And so as he is being arrested, he had urged those around him to do tshuva to ensure that their death al Kiddush Hashem would accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. Chazal tell us that when Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was being killed, and this is described in the Kina as well, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who was killed after Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Shmuel Kohen Gadol was crying for the Nasi Yisrael who was murdered so cruelly, and he subsequently, Shmuel Kohen Gadol, was then tortured by having the skin of his head flayed from his body. Chazal tells us that the Roman Caesar said to Rabbi Shmuel, "Adayin ad hapotech be'elokecha? Do you still have trust in your God?" And this was a mockery that was hurled at Jews throughout the Yisurim of Galus, whether it be the Cossacks who massacred their Jewish victims and tortured them barbarically in Sokaitim, an account, contemporary account of the Cossack massacres of 1648, 1649. It is recorded that the Cossacks, while torturing their victims, and they also barbarically tortured their victims in the cruelest of ways, whether it be also like Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, skinning Jews alive, throwing their bodies to the dogs, amputating limbs. The Cossacks, as well as Sokaitim records, while torturing their victims, would ask them, "Where is your God? Let him come and rescue you from your enemies." Whereas is recorded about the Telzer, Rav Avram Yitzchak Bloch was beaten by German soldiers with a hammer, all the while asking him, "Where is your God now? Where is your God now, Herr Rabbiner?" And Shmuel Kohen Gadol, the Medrash tells us, responds to the Roman Caesar, Pasuk in Iyov, Yud Gimel Tesvav, "Hein yikteleni lo ayachel." Even if God brings about my death, I still turn to Him, put my trust in Him under all circumstances. Chazal tells us as well that Rabbi Kiva was arguing with Pappas ben Yehuda, whom our Brachos relates, who tried to convince Rabbi Kiva to stop learning. Why risk arrest and execution? Rabbi Kiva, of course, refused, because a Jew without Torah is like a fish without water. One can't survive even for a short period of time without Torah. Torah is like oxygen for a Jew, as water is to a fish. So much so that the Gemara Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis tells us that even in jail, Rabbi Kiva was still teaching Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Torah. The Gemara Yevamos Kuf Dalet tells us that Rabbi Kiva is paskening halachas regarding Minan Chalitza while he's in jail. Torah for a Jew is oxygen, and even under the direst of circumstances, one cannot ever stop learning Torah. Entire book that I purchased recently, written by David Avram Mandelbaum of Bnei Brak, describing Limud HaTorah B'Shnos HaShoah. It's a remarkable collection of survivor accounts of Jews learning V'Mesiras Nefesh Torah in and under all terrible circumstances throughout the years of the Holocaust, in the ghettos, in the camps, be it Dafyomi, be it other forms of learning. We mentioned Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman hiding out in pits in the woods surrounding Vilna after having fled the Vilna ghetto for 6 months, learning a Masecht of Shas Baal Peh time and again, over and over and over again. One of the most direst of circumstances, Klal Yisrael's most nefesh to learn Torah. It is Torah which serves as the oxygen for our survival, as the G'dolei Torah, who Klal Yisrael turns to for strength and support throughout. Yeah, the girl may reach on the higher of a rook and full girl, Rabban Shimon Pasha Savar Bach of a Knig Zuk Zero. Rabban Shimon Chazar Hagman, Larka Benefers, Sura, Mizar Aaron, Shalva Vakash, Liv Gotta Benag Zero, and not a Russian, a son of Hakavai, Seven Aratira, Samina, Valina, Fiva Piba, Gamura. One of our famous Gabba Tara, Pism Nigma, Salam, Missa Mission of Kamura. Skip to Kina Chaf Gimel. The story of the son and daughter of Ishmael Kohen Gadol, we just read, he was executed so cruelly, his son and daughter taken as slaves by the Romans, who thereafter decided, the two slave owners who each owned one of the children of Ishmael Kohen Gadol decided, not knowing that they were related, to pair them together so that they could produce children from that union. And the Kina describes the distress, the agony of each of these children, not realizing initially that the other one was a sibling, simply two of them sitting in the same room in the dark of night, crying and sobbing incessantly, mourning the desecration of the kavod of the kahuna that they had to uphold as descendants and as sons of the Kohen Gadol. How could they desecrate the kedushas hakahuna? And upon recognizing one another in the morning, somehow they both died, embracing each other. A kina which focuses not on the korban of the nation as a whole, but on the individual suffering, and the individual's pain, and the sensitivity of these two children of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, not just to their own pain and suffering, but to the desecration of the Kedushas HaKohuna that they were charged with upholding. And this is the theme of Soloveitchik writes, we see every so often in the Kina, say, Kina focuses on the individual, such as the Kina that's focused on Yoshio HaMelech's death, because we do not lose sight, even during the mourning of the Churban Beis Elokeinu, we do not lose sight of the suffering of even the individual.
Sapru Zalazan Yonim, Zama Mishavasti, Yonim, Shavis, the Chivka, Lavusha Shonim, Kalavana Bezifaklas, Abonim, Gasar, Katsiv Yamima, Hima Yamim Yamima, Ravisi Palovic of Lime, Hinanimish, Yushalim, Shavisi, having you here, Nime, Kashamish, Kusak, but Easter, Rhyme, Bonus, Algam, and Hawk, and Time, Bill Vlado, is Kamari Kok Mishamim, Shimas, Listed Sanos, Nam, Zekas, I says, Madaya Fima, Rahima Yamim Yamim, Skim all Zoysnam Yah, I love Ziv, and the Hidder Echad. Don't even be close to them, Kahal.
Skip to Kina Chaf Hei, page 272, written by Ben Eklonimus. This Kina describing the massacres of the Jewish communities in Germany, Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. The Jews who lost their lives at the hands of the Crusaders in 1096. The Kina describes how these three communities were attacked. First, the Haruge Ashpira, the Kina tells us on page 274. The Haruge Ashpira, the Jews of Speyer, were attacked on May 3rd, 1096, which is Basheni Bishmonabo, the second month, the eighth of the month, meaning Ches Iyar. And how they died Al Kiddush Hashem. Says that they gathered together, Nesfu Yachad Nafsham Heshlima B'mor, they agreed together, Al Yichud Shem HaMiyuchad Yichud Rishem B'Gvura, to die Al Kiddush Hashem. The next paragraph, bottom of 274, describes Kahal V'Maiza, community of worms, Geone Eretz, these were Tamidei Chachamim Gedolei Torah. Worms, Rashi had taught Torah. Twice, says the Kina, page 276, they're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, Be'esu Meshlosh Bechodesh Ziv, on Chaf Gimel Iyar, and then again, Bechodesh Hashlishi Bekriyas Hal Lashorah, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. During the recital of Hallel. This came out to be May 18th, May 25th. It's about 2 weeks after the killings at Speyer. And in Worms it was twice, 1 week apart, May 18th, May 25th. And they too, Heshlimu Nafsham bi'ahava kshura, surrendered their lives with love. Then the second paragraph, page 276, Adir Kahal Magensa. This was on May 27th. This is 2 days after Worms. The Jews of Mainz. They too, Ishlimu Nafsham al Yichud Shem Anora, decided to be Kadesh Shem Shemayim, being most nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. This the Kina speaks of Bechodesh Shlishi Vashlishi, Gimel Sivan. Kina speaks of the deaths occurring Gimel Sivan in Mainz. Then the key in that paragraph, page 276, adds that kishkula harigasim les abolus apra, their death is worthy of mourning, kestrefas beis alakein, like the mourning of the destruction of the mikdash, v'chi'ein lehosif moed shever v'savera. That line is the line that the Brisker Rav cited in 1942 as reason for why he felt it was not appropriate to support a one-time day of mourning that the rabbinate in Israel at that time wanted to institute for the Jews who had lost their lives in Nazi Europe in 1942. Brisker Rav understood this line to mean that one is not supposed to add additional days of mourning such tragedies, since we already have the day of Tisha B'Av on which to mourn. Others, such as Rav Herzog Zatzal, suggest that perhaps this line, "Chi'ein lehosif moed shever v'savera," can be understood differently, meaning he understands that the Kina is describing in the previous lines, "Biyom matan das shibarti les ashra," that on the day of Shavuos, Herzog understands the Kina is describing how on the day of Shavuos, day of Matan Torah, Jews were killed, and he understands that based on that interpretation, "Ein lehosif moed shever v'severio," he understands it to mean you should not add to the holiday of Shavuos days of mourning for that which occurred on Shavuos. So if the deaths of these Jews occurred on Shavuos, Rav Herzog understands the Kina to be saying, don't mourn their death on Shavuos. But not, as Rav Herzog understood it, to mean that you can't establish another day of mourning for those Jews who died. After all, we know that the Gedolei Achronim established, the Vada Avaratzis established the day of Chav Sivan to mourn the death of the Jews massacred by the Cossacks. Moshe Feinstein suggests there might be a distinction between Chav Sivan to mourn the Cossack massacres and a day of mourning to mourn the Holocaust, but a lot of that discussion centers around the interpretation of this Kina. And these crusaders who massacred these communities in 1096 ultimately reached Yerushalayim in 1099 and assaulted the city of Yerushalayim on July 14th, 1099. And they too, their own contemporary chronicles record that when they broke into the walls of Yerushalayim, they were so barbaric that the crusaders themselves were ankle deep in blood, and that the crusader soldiers themselves could barely tolerate the vapors that were rising from the warm blood that was flooding the streets. And the city smelled of death, these chronicles record, for 6 months after July of 1099. And although the crusaders were barbaric people who looked for any excuse to massacre Jews on their way to Jerusalem, they have in Christian history been somewhat glorified. So much so that when General Sir Edmund Allenby entered into Jerusalem in 1917, having taken Palestine from the Turks, he made reference to his campaign as a crusade that had finally been won to take back the Holy Land from the Muslims. And British media at the time featured the event with a caricature of Richard, King Richard, known as Richard the Lionhearted, who participated in the Third Crusade, who went to the Middle East and returned to England And he too was glorified despite being a barbarian and a sadistic murderer. They glorified him throughout British history. So even in 1917, the caricatures in the media portrayed Richard Lionheart looking down from heaven and approving of Edmund Allenby seizing Yerushalayim by saying something along the lines of, "My dream has now been realized." Sadly, the Crusaders are not people to be glorified. They are barbarians who murdered and tortured people to death. And it is these massacres that we mourn on Tisha B'Av as well. Mention just, as I've done in the past, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik writes that Germany had been the center of Torah learning for European Jewry. Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola, who died just 50 years earlier in 1040, he, of course, was based in Germany. He taught Rabbeinu Yaakov Bar Yakar, who was Rashi's Rebbe. Rashi, as we mentioned, studied both in Mainz, where Rabbeinu Gershom had been, and subsequently in Worms. And Rashi returned to France in 1065. Imagine had the timing been different, what would have become of Rashi and Torah Shebaal Peh? But the loss of these Torah centers, as we saw in the Kina, these were Geone Eretz Unukie Tahara. These were Gedole Torah. The loss was not just one of Jewish life, it was tragic loss of Torah as well, on a terrible scale. Miten Roshi Mai Veni Makor Nos Lai Efka Koyamos Avile Lai Schala Lai Tapai Volo Lai Vishishe Kala Vatamanu Avoy Vala Lai Chem Bocha Bechara Vahara Babesis of Alam Adna Kinof Bechara Tomoyatid Maini Velchal Yisde Boychem Vavaki Mimor Leva Venevoychem Abusulai Sayofos Yolodos Arakim is afraid of Rahamachim Lahavach Nimshachim Admirats and the Phoenims appear in the night, come committed hoots as he does, and his lock and Sirut Ami, Kalulam, and the Kalkarev, our basis of Allah, Mother Mechanical Bakarev. Say, I need him a very little of Yanud, a belief, he will have Garsak, a carlas, be dummy, Pazi, Kravaz, or Hamuda. Penima Kavuda Kavoid, Kalkli Hamda. You see, a Karosh, a full of a gum, that Tara, Mirka, Mishna, Gada.
Who
Turn to Kina Chav Tes, page 294. Also, a Kina by Ben Equanimus. A Kina describing, once again, the horrors of the Crusader massacres. This Kina speaking a little bit more explicitly of parents killing their own children in order to spear them. Baptisms, they shouldn't be seized and baptized by force. The Kina describes how the father, on page 296, the third paragraph, Kavash of Racham of Lazevach, the father suppressing his compassion to slaughter his children, Yiladav Hishlam Kikaram Latevach, like sheep. With the next paragraph on 296, Le'imosam Noamim Hinnunu Neshchatim and Etbachim, the children crying to their mothers are being slaughtered, k'kedishim l'tevach, as they're being prepared for killing. Nashim periyam ole tipuchim, women preparing their own children to be killed. In the middle paragraph on page 96, haben nishchat va'av kari ashma, a father slaughtering a son, and the father reciting kriya shema. And this Kina, cited by the Maharam Mirotenberg as proof that there was justification for not just suicide, but even murder to avoid one's children being baptized. This was a very, very bitter debate amongst the Rishonim whether those Jews in these communities and others who killed not just themselves but their own family members to avoid them being baptized by the Christians, whether there was any basis to allow that in halacha or not. You can look at the Das Zakenim, Mibali Tosus, and Bereshis Perak Tes, Parshas Noach, and the Pasuk Achas Dimchem, where Das Zakenim cites one such person, a Rav Echad, he calls him, who is killing children, b'shas hashmad, so they shouldn't be seized and baptized and raised as Christians. And another Rav Echad was angry at him, b'yoser, called him a murderer, and this first Rav refused to listen. And the second Rav says to his first Rav, if I am correct that you are a murderer, you should suffer a terrible death. And so it was, says Das Zakenim, that the Christians seized him, the first rabbi who was killing these children, and tortured him to death barbarically by flaying the skin of his flesh. And at that point, says Das Zakenim, had he not killed those children, the children would have survived because the gezeira came to an end. This gives you a sense of the horrors that communities were grappling with. The Maharam Mirotenberg himself was asked a shaila by somebody who lived in Koblenz, and he had killed his children And ultimately it turned out that that was unnecessary, so to speak, because the massacre stopped. The children would have lived had he not killed them. And he wanted to know what kind of kapara he had to undertake for what he had done. And Maharami Rothenberg, in defending those who killed others to prevent them from being baptized, cites this kina as proof that there is justification for doing so halachically, because otherwise the Ben HaMeshulam, Ben HaKlonimus, would not have glorified it in this kina as he does, as we described. The kina certainly highlights the horrors of these massacres and how parents viewed their children being baptized as obviously, understandably, far worse than death itself, because at least if they die, they go to Olam Haba. Whereas if they're baptized, what's going to become of them? And they therefore preferred even to slaughter their own children rather than to submit them to the baptism of the Christians. And the Shach in Yerdei Kufin and Zayin quotes the Smak, who says, you can't criticize such individuals, kedoshim gemurim heim. What they did is justifiable, again, even though it was a source of much debate amongst the Rishonim. But there are those that defend their actions and refuse to allow others to judge them critically. Amarti she'umini b'vchi amarer. Marna afshiv ruchi akar, milav yosin asidun lo'ere b'vchi azer le'yigonech. Most men are men, and they shot him in the bottom, kicked him out of the heat, from the bottom. Mashing for him, other people, commission of the Mavin, and shot back, and shot me out of the Smishama. Mass, by his high offer, because Bassi has a bar posh, and Mahala says, he's a little bit, I know most of the Ido, Sukh, Emma Prokhuka, after Mashing Mutaka, Wukhaka, or Khan, and Banzamika. Also, Banskin, this is a resource, if class hired the Kadim Dosses, his sons, his daughter, and Sikhia, Sala, Riti, and Kasses. I'm going to go to the hospital. Turn to Kina Lamed Aleph, page 306. Contrasting Tzias Mitzrayim with the exile from Yerushalayim. We know that on the Jewish calendar, the first Seder night of Pesach and Tisha B'Av night always come out the same night of the week. And on both nights, we have an obligation to relive the events that occurred and try to re-experience them. And certainly, Avelos of Tisha B'Av, Avelos Yeshana, the challenge to recreate the pain of loss and the suffering of Churban. Both nights have that same challenge. And this Kina, we contrast the joy of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the suffering and pain of Golos Yerushalayim. It's the contrast that perhaps only sharpens the pain at once we were to help us appreciate once we were, what we were once zocha to, and what we now suffer from. And the Kina concludes with the optimistic hope and amunah that ultimately we too will return to Yerushalayim. Eish to kar bekerbi behalosi ali bi bitsaisi mi mitzrayim ki ne moira lamanas ki rabitsaisi mi rushalayim ahaz yashir moshe shir loyina shabitsaisi mi mitzrayim my konen yer mi yab and honin yab itsaisi mi rushalayim Beisi his konan, vishachan ha'anan, betseisi mi mitrayim, vachamas el shachna like anan, betseisi mi rushalayim, gale yaham ramu, vachachama kamu, betseisi mi mitrayim, zidunim shatafu, vial roshi tafu, betseisi mi rushalayim, Digan Shamayim, Mitsuya Zubamayim, Bitsaisim, Mitzrayim, Laano Umrarim, Umayim Hamarim, Bitsaisim, Yerushalayim, Ashkem Beharev, Svivo Sarkorev, Bitsaisim, Mitzrayim, Koreyel Evel, Al Naharos Babel, Bitsaisim, Yerushalayim. Marek Voda Donai, Kiesha Kalas Lefonai, Bitsaisim, Mitzrayim, Vicharev Letu, Shalatavach Netu, Shabitsaisim, Yerushalayim, Zevachumin Chavisham and Amish Chavitsaisim, Mitzrayim, Sgulasel Luku, Kitson, Letiv, Chavitsaisim, Yerushalayim. Chagimu Shabbosos, Amov Symbiosos, Bitsaisim, Mitzrayim, Tahanis Vievel, Lurdo Fahab, Bitsaisim, Yerushalayim, Tavu Aholim, Learba Adigalim, Bitsaisim, Mitzrayim, Yale Yishmaelim, Amachano Sarelim, Bitsaisim, Yerushalayim, Yehov Elushmita, Vieret Shoketa, Bitsaisim, Mitzrayim, Machor latzmi sos v'charus v'chasus b'tzeisim Yerushalayim Kapahores v'aron v'yavnei zikaron b'tzeisim Yerushalayim V'avnei hakal ochlei habala b'tzeisim Yerushalayim V'vim v'aharonim v'shivim zekenim b'tzeisim Yerushalayim Noksim umonim umochrim v'konim b'tzeisim Yerushalayim Moshe Yir'enu V'Yaharon Yanchenu B'tzeisim Yimitzrayim Nivuchadnetzav Andayanus Kesar B'tzeisim Yerushalayim Naruch Milchama V'Adom Nahishama B'tzeisim Yimitzrayim Rachak Mimenu V'hine Yenenu B'tzeisim Yerushalayim Sisrei Faroches V'Sidrei Mareches B'tzeisim Yimitzrayim Kedusha unavua, uchvarad oinoi nira, b'tzeisim imitzrohoyim. Nigala umora, viruach atoma, b'tzeisim irushalayim. Rina vishua, v'chatzot rasachua, b'tzeisim imitzrohoyim. Za'akas ola, v'na'akas chala, b'tzeisim irushalayim. Shulchan umenora, v'chale luktara, b'tzeisim imitzrohoyim. Elil Visaway, Vafesalo Matse, Babitesim Yerushalayim, Tara Usa Uda, Hlei Hachem, Dabitesim Yimitrayim, Sasan Visim, Chavinasagan Vana, Chavishuvil Yerushalayim. Skip to Kino Lamed Dalid, page 320. This is the Kina describing, as we referenced earlier, the murder of the Navi Zechariah, then Yehoyada, who is both a Kohen and a Navi, who was murdered in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And the Navi describes in Divrei Yamim how Yehoyada Kohen Gadol had hid King Yehoash in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years and had thereby saved his life when he was but a child. And Yehoash, when he became king, was convinced by people that he was divine. People started worshipping Avodah Zarah. And when Zechariah, the son of the Kohen Gadol Yehoyada, who had hidden Yehoash and had saved his life, when Zechariah, the son of Yehoyada, gave the Bnei Yisrael Musar for being Ovid of Avodah Zarah, so Yehoash himself commanded the Jews in the Azara on Shabbos Yom Kippur to stone Zechariah the Navi to death. Yehoash the Navi tells us in Divrei Yamim, failed to be Makir Tov, that Zechariah's father Yehoyada had saved Yehoash's life. And a year later, Yehoash himself was murdered by two servants, one an Ammoni and one a Moavi. Rashi explains that Yehoash had failed to be Makir Tov, he was Kafui Tova, so his punishment, Mida Kenegan Mida, was that he was killed at the hands of Ammon and Moav, who also were Kafui Tova to Bnei Yisrael. After all, Avram Avinu saved Lot, and thereby saved Ammon and Moav, who were the sons of Lot. And Ammon and Moav didn't recognize that Tov to Klal Yisrael. They didn't give the Jews bread and water when the Jews were passing through the desert. Moav hired Bilam to curse the Bnei Yisrael. And therefore the punishment that Yehoash suffered for his failure to be Makir Tov to Zechariah for his father Yehoyada having saved Yehoash's life, the punishment was that Yehoash was killed by Ammon and Moab, these two slaves of his own, and Ammoni and Moavi, who also represent this Kfias HaTov, failure to be Makir Tov. And this kind of describes how when it was Zeradon, the Babylonian general, during Bais Rishon, obviously, came into the Beis HaMikdash and saw the blood of Zechariah that was still miraculously boiling on the floor of the Azara, and he demanded to know what the blood was, and the Jews first tried to tell him it was the blood of Korbanos, and he was not convinced. And ultimately he discovered that it was the blood of the Navi Zechariah who was murdered for no reason. And then, as if to avenge Zechariah's blood, the Vizuradim then gathers the Kohanim and murders them by the tens of thousands, the Kina says. And he continues to murder women and children until blood flowed like the river of Mitzrayim, says the Kina. And finally, the Vizuradim says to Shemayim, "Have I not killed enough of the Benos Yerushalayim?" At which point the blood of Zechariah stops boiling. And as I've mentioned in previous years, there is a fascinating collection of sources collected by Shmuel Ashkenazi in his book Alpha Besa Karmesa de Shmuel Zeira. Shmuel Ashkenazi was a remarkable fellow who lived in Yerushalayim of Hungarian descent. His name was originally Deutsch, changed it to Ashkenazi. He was from Bate Ungaran. Looked like a Yerushalmi through and through, long kapata, Haredi dress, long beard, and yet he was one of the most respected, well-read encyclopedias of knowledge in the country. He would be consulted by professors, by librarians, because his wealth of knowledge of the written book was remarkable. Journals, Sfarim, he had a wide, wide range of knowledge. And he collected in his book, Alpha Besa Kamesh, the Shmuel Zeira, a list of sources, all pointed to various events in recent centuries that seem to indicate that more or less similar storyline, not just one, that Rav Kahaneman heard from the Chafetz Chaim, that in Nevardak there was a man who was taken over by a dibbuk, and the dibbuk claimed to be the neshama, the gilgal of the person who threw the first rock at Zechariah in the Azara that led to his death. And he cites other such indications that this individual who attacked Zechariah first has been left without kapara for millennia, suffering the consequences of his terrible, terrible crime. So this is the king that describes in Vuzaradin how he killed thousands, tens of thousands of Jews upon discovering the blood of Zechariah. We'll skip to Kino Lamed Vav to recite one of the Tzion Kinos of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, writing of his love of Tzion. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who lived in the late 1000s, early 1100s, wrote hundreds of poems in addition to his Sefer Kuzar, for which he is perhaps most famous. And he authored a number of Tzion Kinos as well. designed, Soloveitchik explained, to help us appreciate the beauty of what we lost, and to also build anticipation and yearning for the return to Yerushalayim, because Geula only comes when we yearn for it. As he himself writes in Sefer Kuzari, when he's asked by the Melech, why is it that the Jews are not yet back in Yerushalayim, he says that the Geula will only arrive when we yearn for it. Ki ratzu avodecha es avoneha v'afar yechonanu. If we yearn for it by desiring its stones, its dirt, to truly, truly yearn for a return to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, only then will we be zocha to Geula. And the Kuzar himself criticizes Kol Yisrael for reciting every day in Shemona Esrei v'sachazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim, and saying it, he writes, like the chirping of a bird, without actually meaning it, without actually thinking about it, with no actual kavana, just muttering the words. The Jew must always, always, always yearn for Yerushalayim. Rav Yehuda Levi wrote 35 such Shirei Tzion, and although it is unclear if he himself was zocha to reach Yerushalayim or to Eretz Yisrael, he certainly tried. We know he came to Alexandria, Egypt in September 1140. We know he went to Cairo. It's unclear if he made it to Eretz Yisrael ultimately or not. You may have read just recently in one of the Jewish magazines a description, which you can find in Stephen Pressfield's book, The Lion Gate, The Lion's Gate, how when the Israeli army paratroopers of Tzahal came back to Yerushalayim, to the Old City in 1967, and they were looking to find access to the Kosel, and they hadn't prepared to attack the Old City. It was a last minute decision. They had no plans for which way to go. They had no maps how to go. These young men who were all of 19, 20, 21 years old had never seen the Old City of Yerushalayim before, and they had come in to Yerushalayim through the Shar Ha'arayot, as the title of Stephen Pressfield's book indicates, the Lion's Gate. They had used a tank to blow the door off the hinges to be able to enter the city, and they ended up coming from the eastern side of Yerushalayim, entering Har HaBayis from that direction, and then trying to find the Kotel HaMaravi, which they had to get to the other side of the Har HaBayis to get to. And they came to that Shar Mugrabim, which I believe is that gate on top of that ramp that leads up from the Kotel Plaza to Har HaBayis, where today when people access Har HaBayis from the Jewish quarter, they go that direction. These Chaylim were coming from the other direction, from Har HaBayis already, trying to get to the other side of the Kotel. And they came to the Shar HaMugrabim, that gate which was locked, a heavy iron steel door. And on Har HaBayis, they were not going to use any tanks to blast anything anywhere, because they knew the sensitivity of the location. They couldn't just take out grenades and explosives and blow doors off the hinges. And Stephen Pressfield, who interviewed these paratroopers, writes how, and this you'll read in this story that's related to that as well, this recent publication, if I'm not mistaken, writes how the Chayalim suddenly come upon an old Arab man wearing a robe with a large heavy key around his neck. He's the gatekeeper for the Shar HaMugrabim. He leads them there, the gate is locked. He tells them, as Stephen Pressfield records, "I've been waiting for you for 19 years. I knew you would come." And he hands them the key. They open the gates, and from there proceed to the Kotel HaMaravi. So if even an Arab knows, "I knew you would come," if even an Arab knows that the Jews, although temporarily barred from Yerushalayim, will insist on coming back, how much more so must we possess that same desperate urge for Geula, for a complete Shivas Tzion, for a complete return to all of Yerushalayim and all of Eretz Yisrael, and for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, because it only will be, says the Sefer Kuzari, when Kiratzo Avadecha Savanev Asafar Yochananu, only then will we in fact be Zocha to that promise being fulfilled. Tzion Halosish Ali Lishlom Asirayich Darshay Shlomech Lehem Yeser Adorayich Yom Mishach Misafon Veseiman Shalom Rachok Vekarav Simi Kolavarayich Shlom Asir Tikvano Sein Demov Ketal Chermon Nichsof Leritam Al Hararayich Levkos Anu Seichani Sanim Ve'esach Alam Shivas Shivu Seichani Chino Leshirayich Yibilaves Alalafnei El Ma'od Yaham Mevan Alachanayim Chon Legeta Arayich Shama Shechina Shechun Alach V'yod Tzreich Pasach Lamo Shavei Shachak Sharayich Chvar Adon Alavar Hayam Arayich Ve'ein Sahar V'shemesh V'chachal V'marayich If Chalinaf Shilash Tapech Ben Kamesh Aruach Elohim Shefuch Al-Bechirayach At Beis Meluchav At Kisei Kavaydel Ech Yashva V'odam Alech Yesos Givirayach Yet Nene Mishoited Ben Kamesh Asher Niglu Elohim L'chayzayach V'tzirayach Nasalik Nafayim V'achek Nidod Ned Levisri Levavi Ben Visarayach Pola Piali Atzeich V'atava Nayach Lema'oid V'achon Ninos Afarayach אַף קי באומד יאלע קייבער סאַוויי סאַוויי שטיימע מאל קייבער מיט קאַר קייבער רייך ער האבער אין בהר אַש שאַם שני אויעם גדלן מיין רייך מיין רייך אין שאַם איז אַ פערק אַ צייך אין מאל דער אַף קאַס אַ פריך ווי פערסט צו פיין רייך אין אַם אין אַף שי הלך אַזוין ווי יאָ קייף אַ דייך אַ וועש מאַ מאַשער יאָ דיי מאַך אין קאַמער ווען יאָ קאַשן איך נאָז בן קאַמ קייבער רייך קייבער רייך Shachnu Chadre Chadarayach, a goes Vashlach Pernazer, a goes man. Love Eretz Bavalis, Nizirach, Ich Yerach, Yachol, Shasay, Space, and Chazer, Yischevach, Love Miskifi Rayach, Oi, O Eich Ma'or Yom, Yim Masop Einai, Va'od Er Ebeth Yardim, Figrevis Arach, Kos Haibar Mu'at, Arpi Mu'at, Yichoy Mu'u, Kazalag, and Ashim Yim Rayach, Eis, 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 Allah, Ashtar Hamarech, Eis, Karli, Vavansa, Shmarayach, Tzion, Kulis, Yifi, Afal, Lachin, Arim, Lamoid, Doch nicht schön, ich weiß, ich habe reich, ich muss mich an der Schafe sich, kann ja immer schön, wenn ich sehe, ich bin ich immer schön, weil ich mich vorstelle, wie ich schaue, wenn ich dich, wenn ich dich, wenn ich mich mit dem Kamer, wenn ich mich schön reich, wenn ich mich an meine Reich, ich schaue, weil ich mich spase, wenn ich mich nicht übe, ich schaue, wie der Reich, sie können mich schon, ich muss anzen, aber alles, ich weiß, bis dann sie nicht im Reich, ich stehe nur fast, ich sage, ach, ich kann, wie Gott, ich habe mich, 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 מי לביח משרח ישנה ויח לפק לכל ממלוך ישראל בידים חסנך לעד למדר ודר נזעיר ויח יבל המי שבל היח השנה שבחר ויקרא וישכם בחצרך שמחק ויגיע ויר על ישראל ויח יבק לו לשחר ולב שחר ויח ויש לפלס בחי ויח לעלס בשמחה שיח ושביח עלי ומשת אלייך We'll skip to Kina 41, page 358. Kina, authored by Maharam of Rottenburg, mourning the burning of the Talmud in the streets of Paris. In 1242, on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, Yud Tammuz, 1,200 manuscripts, 24 wagon loads, and before the invention of the printer, this was a tragic loss, irreplaceable loss of so much Torah. And the sight of seeing Torah going up in flames was gut-wrenching, it was traumatizing for any Jew, especially for a Gedolei Yisrael such as Maharam of Rottenburg, who lived at that time as well. The Maharam was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechiel, who was one of the participants in the debate that the king of that was held in France and Paris before the burning of the Talmud manuscripts. The debate was in 1240. It was not long before a similar debate the Ramban was forced to have in Spain in 1263. In France and Paris, the debate focused on references in Shas and the attitude of the Talmud toward non-Jews. Statements such as a guy who keeps Shabbos is chayiv misa, or statements that seemed to justify deceit, such as hataras nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, which the Christians used to show that Jews could be deceitful and could promise and lie. The debate the Ramban had in 1263, though, focused more upon the identity of Mashiach as opposed to the focus on the Talmud's attitude towards Christians and non-Jews. In Paris, that debate focused also on Kol Nidre, that also that Taras and Darm type of allowance in Chazal, which the Goyim attacked. And the Kina mourns the terrible loss that resulted with the burning of these many, many manuscripts of Torah, which might have threatened, considering the times that they were in, the very existence of Torah Shebaal Peh to a certain extent. And the Maharam in this Kina, while also bemoaning how could it be that the fires burned the Sefer Torah, he asks, almost rhetorically, on page 360 towards the bottom, is this why Sinai was chosen to be the mountain upon which Torah was given? Because its small, lowly height in comparison to other mountains was designed to be in some way an omen of the terrible degradation that Torah would suffer ultimately with the burning of Torah. Is this like a king celebrating his son's wedding while at the same time crying over his ultimate death? Is that why Sinai was chosen for the Matan Torah, knowing this would happen to you, Torah? So Maharam mourns the tragic Bizoyan Torah, tragic loss suffered by Torah. But he also begins by asking Torah to inquire about the welfare of those who mourn Torah, and those who yearn to dwell together with Torah. We're asking Torah to inquire as to our welfare. A similar phrase we find, says the Chofetz Chaim in the Slichos of Seras Meir Tshuva, where we say, Torah HaKadosha Hischanani Bevakasha Pnei Tzor Naretz B'Kedusha. There is all we ask Torah to pray on our behalf. And the Chofetz Chaim says that when we ask Torah to advocate on our behalf, the response that Torah will have is, how much did we call Yisrael do on behalf of Torah? How much did we care about Torah ourselves? If we're asking Torah to support us and advocate for us, then we have to advocate for Torah. We have to express our care and concern for Torah as well. The mourning of the burning of Torah. Even Jews who are not necessarily the most observant may be aroused by such a terrible sight. Mordechai Eliyahu in his anthology of stories from the Holocaust cites a story about the mayor of Kuznets, who was known to be a Chal Shabbos, not someone who was religious at all by any stretch of the imagination. And yet Rosh Hashanah 1943, when the Germans raided Kuznets, arrested him, lit a fire in the center of town, and insisted that he throw a Sefer Torah into the flames, he, this mayor of Kuznets, who was far from anyone who would have been expected to be sensitive to this kind of desecration of Torah, steadfastly refused to burn the Torah, and instead allowed the Germans to throw him into the flames instead. Somehow the burning of Torah is something which even the simple Jew feels the horror and the tragedy entailed in that disgrace, in that desecration of Torah. Shali Shufa Ba'esh Shasama Vilayach Misavim Shachar B'chatzar Zvulayach Shofim Ba'far Eretz Va'kovim Amishtom Mimalei Mokeid Gililayach Hochim Chashechim Eino Gavikovim L'or Yomam Asher Yizrach Aleim V'olayach Shlom En Osh Nenach Bocha V'lev Nishbar Tomer Mekonin Alei Tzirech Avalayach Yisonin Kisanim V'nos Yahan V'yikom Yispid Mar B'kulayach Eichanusuna Ba'esh Ochlat V'kal Ba'esh Beish Basar Valoinich Wazarim Bekachalayach Adon Adina Tehi Shoyach Nabarai Vashke Nei Prachai La Kisu Charulayach Teshe Berei Vgava Lishpoit Benei El Bechol Mishpat Misavi Bechlilayach Ob Tixer Lishroif Das Eish Vachukim Elachin Ashro Yishish Amloch Gimulayach Tzuri Bila Piri Vaish Alava Avur Zenesanech Givach Risech Tlahidesh Bishalayach Sinah Alkein Bechar 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 Elohim Amas Begdalim Bezorach Bechlilayach Let's recite before we conclude with the Litzion one kina for the Holocaust in the article on page 382. There is a kina composed by Baba Varebi of Shlomo Halberstam Zatzal on page 384. There's a kina composed by Shimon Schwab Zatzal, Before concluding, we'll recite just one. I'll recite the Zichrona on page 382, Holocaust Kina.
Zichrona v'kani l'kai Yisrael kochem yisham v'barama Shmida gemranya samel v'mezam ha-melchama Yisrael s'mishun asach zariyas v'rav v'batsama Zishkuch v'chal aderes adesis g'leres b'nechama Zakasim v'chi yisem tzifuvim v'sigurim v'kreinim Katsen l'tabach yipal v'shef v'ki shweinim
Conclude with Elitzion, page 392, comparing Tzion to a woman in labor, just as the pains of childbirth seem to be unbearable, but the woman is able to tolerate the pains, knowing that the greatest simcha and joy is soon to follow. So too, Klal Yisrael in Galus, we tolerate and endure the suffering of Galus, knowing that ultimately it culminates in Geula, and it's the Galus that prepares us, that refines us in preparation for that geula.
Al bias mechar feyel, soch migdash hadar reha, ale galus mishar seyel, ani meshir zimar reha, yal dama masher shupach, kmo me me yeyor reha, ale hegyon mechaleha, sher damam viyor reha, yal va'ad asher shameim, Uvitul Sanhedreha, Lazim Faisimideha, Fid Yonai Bechoreha, Yalfilu Kaleha, Mizbach Ketoreha, Ale Tape Milacheha, Neda Pingavireha, Vial Yafyam Asher Khoshach, Kisaru Kisoreha, Lechavad Asher Gala. His korban devireha, alochetz asher lachatz, tamsakim chagureha, hey machatz rov makos, shehukun izireha, v'al niputz alei sela, ayla lehav niyareha, hey simcha asay veha, sachaku ashivareha, v'al inuy nei chorin, Ve ha te hai reha, ve fesha sher sa, svul de reha shureha, yal tzivaz ke ha leha, shizu peha shecho reha,
Yeah, because I'll have a good rest.